Just a few mistakes here, Mark, and they're very minor. It's vocab is what it boils down to, and I'll go over that. Okay. Your first sentence is correct. As a matter of fact, I think what I'll do is I'll put them on the board, and then we can analyze them together and see if he ended up with what he should have. Okay? It depends. There are many different words. The modern Greek word is spiti, so it'd be spiton. But I don't know what you'd actually say dwelling or abode. Okay? Or you could even use the word tent, which is kinyi. Yes, or skinyi. It had what? Ikos? Yeah, that of course, from economia. Yeah. Okay, ta. Tekna. Okay, he doesn't know the word here, so you can see what he's done. And I'm going to go along with it. That's supposed to be house, okay? And this is sat. Okay, there's one immediate error. His sentence is the children sat beside the house. What is the one thing that you look at it carefully, Mark? What do you see? The article in the accusative does not agree. Okay? If you're using the accusative masculine, which you did here, right, then this should have been ton. Got it? All right, the children, and then you use the third person. No, you got the children. You used third person singular. Yeah, it's usin. Or, I mean, yeah, usin. So it should have been sat usin. Right? They sat. The children, they sat. Paraton spiton. Or houson. The children, they sat. So this should have been usin. Beside, that's the preposition, the house, period. Anybody have any questions? And? You see what we're doing? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm talking to you, yeah. Okay, the second sentence. And this one here is just a question of vocabulary. O, aba, ke, yini. Now this one you have right. Okay, you have.
You see the or, either or there on the second line, on the bottom, the end of the thing?
The father and the wife?
No. Well.
Oh, I see it there, yes, yes.
I can't tell whether it possesses or
is no. Genesis? No. Their house. You see, you'd have to use the personal pronoun also, which you don't know yet. So you just sort of stuck to the straight accusative. All right, here's my problem. You did the same thing here, by the way. You used to, and then you used an on for the accusative. That should have been ton. Remember, they should agree in number, gender, and case.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here's where the o ava ke I yini vlepusen. You got two people here, so you have a compound subject. They see out of the house. Okay? From the house, literally. Right? They see from their house. From the house. Their house would be ek ton. Right? Then you'd have spiton, the house, and then aftu, of theirs. That would be the personal pronoun.
Okay, well that
so you don't know that.
Yeah, because I couldn't figure out of their house whether their it is the direct object that receives the action.
Yeah, here's your direct object. No, you modify the direct object, the house, of theirs.
Okay.
See?
Then the direct object expresses it.
Oh, always. Yeah, it's still possessive. Now, if you wanted to say their house, you could put it... No, this is the way you would do it.
Okay.
Or you would... Yeah, you'd have it... Because ek... The only problem with ek is I think that... No, ek's fine. For now. Can ek take the accusative?
No, but that would...
Or does it take the dative?
Take the genitive only? That's all it's got here. I have to check the notes.
Okay, well, we'll let it go. That's no problem, because you're the only thing you didn't know is this right here. And this is the personal pronoun of theirs.
Okay,
now, here's the problem. This word, Abba, okay, is the Greek word for father, as in God the Father. Yeah. So you could have used the word Andra. That's man. Okay. Anthropos, another word for man. But in the context, if you use Andra, it would be husband. O Andra ke I yeneka, right? Vlepusen. They see ek from out of the house. You wouldn't say out of the house. You just say they're seeing from the house. And you could even extend that to participial, because remember that a Greek participle and an English participle are different. So you throw an ing, because they're currently doing it. It's present active indicative. Any questions on that one? Her? I didn't. Didn't. You could just say the man and the wife. The wife. Yeah, it does not belong to him. It could or could not. But if you said the husband and wife, you would assume that. But if you said o andros ke I o di yeneka, or gyeni, from odos, the same as, that would be the principle of idios. You remember idios? We studied that. That she should love her idios andra, her husband. The her there is understood in that Greek word means the same, only encounter. That is, they're related. But by virtue of the structure, you would assume, if I said to you, the husband and the wife were looking out of the house, you would assume that they were married. But then it could be a husband of one and a wife of another. You see what I'm saying? But you really wouldn't say that. You'd say the man and the woman. By virtue of the fact that you're introducing them as a husband and as a wife, the correlative conjunction, ke, would tend to lump them together. Yeah, we assume it's their, right, and this would modify it as their house, so there's the possessive right there. Now, conceivably, you could have a husband and a wife looking out of a house they jointly own and they're not married, but that's, you know, we're getting a little bit foul there. Okay. Philip, got it? Any questions? So far, we're doing all right. Oh. Okay, the next one I have a problem with only because of your choice of prepositions. And I know you looked this up and used it as such, but there's a better preposition to have used. E. Yenyi. I'm writing big so you can all see it. There's your verb. Okay, he didn't know house, obviously. This is correct, because N takes the dative. Right? It's the only one it can take. So that is correct. All right, now the question is, something is wrong in the structure. Not in the structure, but in the use here. I yin yi, okay, the woman, right? Actually, wife. The wife. And then sun edhi, that's co-worker. Oh, worked. Edgi would have been a better one. Sun, sin, by the way, is like a hyphenated English word.
Yeah, I think I just got that coming through the...
Yeah, and here's where you have your problem. You picked this up, and you translated it with... Yeah, but did she work with the house? Okay, yeah, that's with, but not in the sense, the better one would have been meta. Okay? The woman, she worked, meta, the children. Now, to technon. Is there a problem there? Yeah, you got the same problem here. You're using an accusative. This is correct. Because it's ta-ta-ta-ta, and if it's children, it's got to be ta-tek-na. Because this is neuter.
I'll have to go through, because I went to the great lengths to try and match those up.
Yeah, see, children, the children, tek-na, that's the accusative. Yeah, ta-tek-na. This is singular, the child. But this is accusative. It should have been to technon. That would be child, the child. And you have, I think you have children here, right?
Yeah, I have children.
Yeah.
So it should be ta techna?
Yeah, ta techna. Now remember, we emphasize one thing in the articles, that the nominative and accusative are the same in the neuter, toto. And then the nominative and accusative of the plural in the neuter are the same, ta-ta. Okay? But how would you know that this is not the subject? Because you already have a subject expressed, I yin yi, see, the wife. So there's your nominative right there. And then she, this is the verb indicating singular, right? Meta, ta tekna, en, in the house. The children, rather the wife, is co-working, that's fine. The wife is co-working with the children in the house. Okay? House, of course, being the object of the preposition en. And this is easy because en always takes the dative. It can't take anything else. All right, your next one is interesting. Yeah, you could have written it this way. That's the interesting thing about writing Greek. Listen to it. Tou androu. Now, you don't know the next word, most of you, so I'm going to put an ending on it. Fish on. Okay? Which is neuter. Am I correct in saying that, Mark? Well, because you have it a nominative singular with an on ending. I have to assume that it's a neuter noun. Okay. You could have expressed the article there. Tall. You got it? That way we would have known.
Yeah.
And then ekpipti. It fell. So the man's fish fell. And you have off, which of course from ekpipto, meaning to fall from, falling from a state of, he was hooked and we assume he fell off. If it's neuter, it would be tall. If it's masculine, it would have been o, and then it should have read o prosphagios. But he's got a prosphagion, and I think that's the way it appeared in the dictionary. And if it did, then it would be tall. Now the way he put it is interesting because he used typical Greek structure. Tou androu that accent's in the wrong place. I don't know where you got that from, but that's okay. Oh, okay, no, because you had it over the accents will appear only over what? Vowels. Okay. All right, here we have the verb last. This is understood as the subject of the sentence. So in translating it, the fish belonging to the man fell off. Or the fish fell off belonging to the man, or the man's fish fell off. See? The man's fish. The subject of the sentence is what? Fish. Direct object? I mean verb? Fell. And you don't have an object there. That's genitive. Because it was the fish belonging to the man. So it was the man's fish that fell off.
Fish is the subject.
That's right.
The man does not receive the action.
No.
So it's not a direct object. It's not an indirect object.
There is no direct or indirect object in that sense.
So it's just a possessive noun. That's it.
Exactly. See? The fish, there's your subject, fell. There's your verb. So if you were writing it in English, the fish fell. The way we used to do it is this, this, and then a circle around the object. You don't have a circle here. Now, those of you that diagram, I have no idea how to diagram because I was never taught how to diagram. When I went to school, they didn't diagram. Now, my wife went to an Iowa school, and they diagram. Here, they diagram. I don't have the foggiest idea what they're doing when they start drawing these little ladders and so on. So I just look at it, and I analyze it from the standpoint of the structure of the sentence. I try to find the subject, then the main verb, because you could conceivably have a compound verb, and then the direct object, then the indirect object, if there happens to be one, or whatever possessive case there is. Here you have, this is in the possessive, or in the genitive case, so you know that can't be the subject. Here you have the main verb, you have the noun in the nominative, so that's got to be the subject. The fish fell. And it was the man's. That's the idea. Translating it, the man's fish fell off. So you're right. And I'm glad you did this, because if we were doing it and thinking English and going right to Greek, you could write it this way. Pros phagion ekpipsi tou androu. Or, pros phagion tou androu ekpipti. See? The fish belonging to the man fell. But you translate it, the man's fish fell off. This is an interesting word because, you know, this is the word that's used in Revelation chapter 3 for remember from whence thou art fallen. To the Ephesian believers, they were being hissed off the stage because they had, Revelation 2. And they're told that, no, it's not the Ephesians. Yeah, it was the Ephesians. Remember from whence thou, it means to be hissed off the stage of life. Remember they brought the tomatoes and the garbage and they threw it at the guy and they'd yell like, pipto, rekibito, pipito. And the guy would eventually be so humiliated he'd commit suicide. So, big word here. So you might not want to use this one. But it does mean to fall. Okay, in their last sentence, Okay, you have aho. What is aho? Well, don't tell me what it is. It's a verb. But tell me what, parse it for me. Shouldn't be difficult because this is the only verbs you know. We know it's present active indicative. Now, figure out, what person is it? It's first person singular. All right? You wanted to say you. You saying I. That's I. You would be agis. Okay? O, is, e, right? Omen, ete, usen. They memorize them. Okay? O, is, e, omen. You know why I'm telling you this? Because you have, see, if you know omen, which is first person plural, when you get to the aorists, it's samen. Okay? And you see, it's like omen. So you know it's second person, or rather first person plural. It'd be nice if it followed the rest too, like soul, sos, but it doesn't. If I had it to do it, I would have done it a little differently, but Alexander, I guess. So there you're wrong. Led the man to the field. You didn't have to use the preposition pros. Because to the field is understood in to
the food.
To the food. See? He led the man to the food would be understood in the dative use, the indirect object, because that's picked up in to the.
What did I need to use?
The pros. The preposition. No. You could put it in, that's no matter. That's no problem.
Okay.
But if I said...
just by the context, it would be inherent by the context.
Yeah, because that's the indirect object.
Okay.
So what is the man leading him to? He's leading him to the food.
Okay.
Yeah, big improvement, Mark. The only problem that I see is the disagreement of the articles and the... Just make sure that they agree in number, gender, and case, and you're in great shape. All right, that's good. I like to see that. I'm going to put this one down because this is one of those first declension masculine nouns that demand a masculine article that does not rhyme, okay? E, yanyi, yanoski, ton, okay. This is the word for knowledge, to know. The wife, or woman, knows the poet. Now, the reason this doesn't rhyme is because this is accusative, masculine, singular. This is the ending of the accusative, masculine, singular of the first declension, in categories, or the east categories. You remember them? As a matter of fact, didn't you run those off for me? Didn't you give me a bunch of those, Bob? Or did you just give me one to read? You ran off a bunch? Because if you did, I want to give them to you. This is what you were asking for, Mark, remember? Here a while back, you said it'd be nice if I had the chart right in front of me and I didn't have to...
This is your first person. Well, yeah. Article of second declension. They've got eight copies.
Oh, yeah. You don't have the first declension.
Yeah, that's the one I gave you to be proofed.
Okay.
But I can check that and run it off tomorrow and bring it Sunday.
Yeah, you look at it and...
I found a mistake. You left off the knee and singular. Excuse me? The one I gave you.
Yeah, I don't know where it is. I'll probably put it in my... I have these. Okay, we don't have them. Okay, the woman, she knows, see, there's the ending for he, she, or it. This goes back to this. There's your main verb, the direct object, ton, accusative, there's the article, and we know it's masculine, but this is the first declension, masculine ending. See, if somebody saw this, see it? What would they think that might be? Poitin. Might opt for feminine. Okay? If you didn't know the word, because you'd see this, teen. Got it? But we know that the tafir is a part of the word, and the in is the ending. Because it's the ita sigma endings of... the first declension. Again, it's a matter of memorizing those two. See, once you get the first and second declension memorized, the present active indicative is memorized, and the articles memorized, then from there on it gets very, very simple. Because frankly, that's all I have memorized. Now, in looking at the words, I can pick out the aorists, I can pick out the imperfects, because there are little clues in there. I'm not always correct in analyzing, for example, in a participle, all of the details of the participle, but I can figure out it's a participle because there's another clue in participial forms. They put letters in to kind of say to you, hey, this is a participle. In the active voice, something is missing. In the passive voice, something is interjected. In the aorists, for example, passive, you have thetas and itas in passive voices. So if you know the word doesn't have a theta, ita in it, and it's got one in there, okay, then you know it's a passive participle. So these are just little clues, and we'll get that at the end of the year when we get to participles. Once we get to that, but see, I have to assume that you guys are going to memorize those short paradigms. Paradigms meaning the little charts. Articles, second declension nouns, first declension nouns, and then the present active indicative verbs. So that when we get to the aorist active indicative, well, you'll see that there's a parallel. Okay, where are we here? Okay. Now, grapho ton vivlion to eko, to eko, to dhulu. All right, I write the book to the house of the slave. That is correct. Or, I write the book to the slave's house. If you wanted to use stelo, by the way, it might have been better, because I send the book to the slave's house. Instead of I write the book to the slave's house. Oh, you used it in the next one. Stelomen, we send ton logon, we send the word to Theou. Now, whose word is it? God's word. We send God's word, tis anthropis, dative plural. To men. Now, let me give you a clue here. Anthropi can either mean masculine, men. It's also the word for people. See, we have, in this auditorium, we have tris anthropos. Ena, one, gyneka. But all of you together are anthropi. So, you could have translated that mankind. People. Okay? Because as soon as you pluralize the word anthropo, it includes both male and female. Unless you're talking about a bunch of guys. Got it? And then you would probably use the plural of andra to emphasize that they are in fact all men. Okay, so we send the word of God to mankind. And I appreciate the problem that some of you are having, the problem being to in the dative is equivalent to a preposition to in English, but that's the best way you can translate it. See, when you're saying we send the word to the men, to is the preposition, men is the object of the preposition to, but that's not a prepositional phrase in Greek. When do you know that it's a prepositional phrase? When it has a preposition in the sentence. See? Here you don't have it, so you have it simply as the indirect object. So you could translate it this way too. We send the word of God to man. That is man from mankind, not singular, man in general. But there again, to is the preposition, isn't it? Okay. Graphi ton logon tu apostolu to diakono. Oh, okay. He writes the word of the apostles to the deacon. Or he writes to the deacon the word of the apostle. Ton logon tu apostolu. Okay? Now, would that be important that that phrase be connected to logo, or rather, ton logon tu apostolu? Yeah. Because, see, if the genitive wasn't related to the accusative, then you'd wonder what that genitive was in fact related to. You get it? So it's got to be close in the possessive. So he writes the word of the apostle of the deacons, that's correct. And the last one, ago tus dolus tis diakonis. I lead the servants, slaves, to the deacons. Correct. Okay. This is the way you're going to find out whether you know the stuff or not when you start making up sentences. Okay, Philip. O diakonos ekvali ton anthropon. The deacon, I'm not even going to look at your translation. The deacon threw out the man. Throws out, that would be better. Yeah, through, you made the same mistake I did. Ekvali is present active, so is throwing out the man. Because he's doing it now. Through would be aorist. Because you translated, the deacon threw out the man, just as I said it. The deacon is throwing, or the deacon throws out the man. And he's doing it right now. I beg your pardon? Exactly. Yeah, Mark's fish is in the process of falling. That is correct. It didn't... ekpipti means it's falling. It didn't fell off. You remember we said fell off? That would have been aorist tense because it's past. Everything in the present tense is what? Occurring at the present tense, the present time. I am speaking to you. Now, that's present tense. I spoke to you. That's past tense. That would be aorist. I'm going to speak to you, Greek future. I might speak to you, aorist subjunctive. That's the equivalent of the English future. There's no equivalent between the English and the Greek futures. I spoke in the past with the result that I'll keep on speaking to you, and there'll never be a time in time when I won't be speaking to you. That's perfect. Imperfect tense, I was speaking to you. I began somewhere in the past. I continued speaking, but I'm not now. That means there's an action that was begun in the past, it continued in the past, and terminated in the past. That's imperfect tense. Pluperfect, don't worry about it. Anthropos apati tigeni. Okay, the man deceives the woman. E macheria, the knife or the sword. Nisi, sticks, or what do you write? Pricks the man's ta opla tu anthropo. Yeah, the man's armor, or his opla could also be any kind of a shield. Ipseftis, The faker, the liar. See, I'm not looking at your translation. Ipsethes lehi is saying the truth. Yeah, that's okay. Especially if you call him a psefti. Psephides. Okay? You want to hear how they say this in Bible school? Pseudes. Pseudes, that's it. Pseudes. No, it's psephtis. David steli to avas iper o vivlos. Uh-oh. You got two subjects there. David, he is sending. And that's where you ran into problems. Now, what do you want to say? David sends his father for the book? No, you put iper. It should have been peri. Concerning the book. Okay, he sends his father. Yeah, he sends. That'd be ton, right? Pateron, not ava. Patera, by the way, is father. Peter. Patera. This is for God. And David certainly wouldn't send God to get a book. Yeah, you see, that word is where Jesus is saying, you now have the right to cry, Abba, Father. Now, the reason why he used that word as opposed to patera is because Abba is a Hebrew word meaning father. But in the context of what he was talking about, he was referring to God as your father, which the Old Testament believer never could, never did. Okay. So you should have said, David steli ton anthropon peri concerning Vivlon. And you wouldn't have a problem with Vivlon being the accusative because you have ton pateron as the direct object, and then you have a preposition in between. So peri, right? And then Vivlon becomes the object of the preposition peri. So you could have two objects in a sentence, but you better have a preposition in there. Y'all understand what I just said? Let me write it down for you and you can see what's happening here. David, steli, I think that's right, ton no oh sends yeah sends ton pa teron peri vivon. All right, now here we have a direct object. But this direct object is related to David. He sends the father, right? Regarding the book, preposition. Accusative, because this is the objective case, and this is the object of the preposition, peri. So you can have two direct objects, one being the direct object of the sentence from the verb steli, from the subject David, the other being the direct object of the preposition peri.
So in prepositional phrases, the phrase used direct object.
That's exactly right. That's provided, no, wait a minute. That's provided you're allowed to do so. Because some prepositions don't take the accusative. So you have to use whatever it takes, because by the nature of the preposition, it would imply an indirect sense, like in. N always takes the dative. So there you have the indirect object, in the house, in the plane, in the car. See? Yeah. I don't know. I don't have the chart in front of me. Oh, then you would just simply change it to David sends tu vivlio ton pateran. Or tu, yeah. David steli tu vivlio ton pateran. The book of the fathers. Sends the book of the father. But it doesn't say to whom or for what reason. It just says he sends the book of the father's book. Accusative to genitive.
Because it's changing from
the direct object. What? Exactly. And you want to make sure that it's connected with the one that possesses it. So it'd be tu viblio ton pateran. What's the matter? Sure, tu, possessive. T-O-U. His book. The father's book. Oh, if he's sending the book, yes. I thought he's sending the father.
No,
send
out the father's book. The book belongs to the father.
Okay. Yes, it would be, all right. Tu anthropoton vivlion. Now, wait a minute. Yes. David sends book. Direct object, book. So you'd make it tu pateru ton vivlion. Yeah, I had it the other way around.
Okay, then it doesn't switch case because it belongs, the book belongs to the father. It's still a direct object.
Book is, yes.
Even though there's possession involved there.
Yeah, but now you've shown that by making the father genitive. That's, he's the one that owns it. Right? He's the one that possesses it. Remember, whatever noun is in the genitive, it's the possession of. Okay? Ton logon tu theou. Mark, translate it.
The word belonging to God.
God's word.
Right.
See? There's the possessive. He owns what?
The word.
This. You couldn't say tu logo ton theon. That would mean God is owned by the book. There are some other structures that become a little bit peculiar, and I can't really even give you the rule for it, but instead of saying doxa, this is glory from doxology. Doxa, this is the way I would say it. I forgot something here, but you understand. Glory to God. Right? I have a tape in my Toyota. It's a Greek tape, and they're singing Doxa to Theo in the song. So that's glory to God. Now watch this. This is what most Greeks say when they're verbalizing. Like somebody says, you were really fortunate that you didn't get run over, and they'd say Doxa to Theou. And there it's the glory of God. But at the same time, you're implying what? Glory to God. It's kind of idiomatic. It was the glory of God that protected me, but I'm giving praise to that aspect. This is strictly glory to God. Doxa tu Theou. Becomes an idiom. Glory to the God is what you're saying here. Glory of the God, but it's the glory of God that I'm acknowledging. Do you get the idea? Like if somebody was saying something to me, I'd say, Doxa to Theou, praise God. See? But this is correct. Doxa to Theou, glory to the God. This kind of almost implies, well, it's God's glory. So one's God's glory and the other one's you are acknowledging. You're sending glory to him. That word glory, doxa, doesn't always mean glory. It could also, in a sense, be a phrase of thanksgiving. Instead of saying evcharisto, which is evcharis, see, good graces, that's what you're saying when you say thank you. Evcharisto to Theou, to Theou, thanksgiving to God. Get the idea? Praise the Lord. Doxa to Theou. See it? Okay. Time's gone. How are we doing? Locking in more? More making sense? Study, study, study. One more class. We lost Glenn. Yeah, I think he's out of time. He'd have been here. Yeah, if we can retain this, I even thought, rather than firing up the whole building here, we might... Oh, we don't have the tape facilities, though. The problem is that you guys, some of you use that and go over it again, and then Larry Hoffman wants the tapes. Well, we'll use the auditorium. Any questions? Sure, why not? Whatever. Just make sure you use them correctly. If you want to throw some prepositions in, good. I would say that if you haven't mastered this yet, try using genitives in the object and genitives in the subject. Okay? The man's book was thrown at the man's house. You know, that kind of thing. In tutu, but they'd be related to, one would be with the os and the other would be with the on. Make sure they're together. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Ke-ke-ke-ke, that's the verb. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Then throw in an indirect object, and in the indirect object, you might want to throw another genitive. You could, you know. Jack's mother, huh? There's the possessive subject. And you say, oh, Jack os, tu, miteru, okay? Right? Jack's mother is sending Phil's book to the house, or to the apostles. To Peter's house, or Peter's something, the apostle's house, whatever. The thing is, you have three genitives in there, but they have to be related. So now you have, the subject was Jack's mother. So mother, right? Jack's mother, the mother of Jack, yeah. Mother's the subject, right? Sending is the verb. Sending what? Was book, was it? Book. There's your structure. Genitive would be genitive of Jack's, right? Over here you'd have the genitive of whatever we put in here, I can't remember now, and then the apostle's house. That would be an indirect object, dative, with the genitive modifying the dative. Right? So you can have a genitive modifying the subject, a genitive modifying the direct object, and a genitive modifying the indirect object. But they'd have to be connected. You couldn't say two, 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 three genitives just in the front of the sentence and then throw in the subject, the direct object, and the verb, and the indirect object, because you wouldn't know which went with which. So you'd have to connect them. So there is some structure involved. And if I've lost you at this point, you're not with the rest of the class, because that you should be able to lock into at this point. There must be proximity with genitives, because you're going to have to tell who's doing what. If you want these back, I'll put them right here. If you don't want them back, take them anywhere and get rid of them. Okay, thank you, Father, for the time together. Dismiss us now, we ask. In Christ's name, amen.